In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Woodall. And to my monotone left is...
I'm not the monotone one. You need to listen to any of our podcasts.
You're
the monotone one.
Just introduce yourself. It.
I'm Bryce Armstrong.
You stop.
To my left is a bison.
To the bison's left.
No, that's
left.
Andrew.
To the bison's left is also a bison named Andrew McKinley. And to that bison's left...
Brett Welty. And to my left,
Jim Cole.
We're all here today.
We have gathered here today.
I don't know how to pontificate at this moment. So, Andrew, do you have something going on?
I got something going on. I'm going to make you guys uncomfortable, too. Cool?
All right. Ooh, good I was deal. Just thinking right. I was
awesome.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, so we're going to do a couple would you rathers.
No.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan.
I wanted to see Jim's face for this because I saw we've done this before. So I know how you guys are. And I was like, what's Jim going to be like? But, we'll just jump right into it with an easy one. Would you rather give up all drinks except for water or eating anything that hasn't or not being able to eat anything that's been cooked in a stove or oven?
Huh?
So you can either give up water.
I understand the water thing. Yep.
Everything but water. Or the only thing you can eat is raw foods and like prepackaged stuff.
Water.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do water.
You're good with just drinking water?
I have a giant thing of water right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I know.
I'm fine.
Okay.
No, I would straight up do the food thing.
I would have to do
really?
The food.
Really?
I'd have to do the food thing because coffee, that would be no coffee.
I know. Coffee.
Ooh. Right?
Gotta have that coffee.
You know, coffee is just water poured over some beans.
But that's not the rule.
Still not water anymore.
It's still water.
You know, it's just unfiltered water.
Still.
If I get to count that as water, then.
You do not. No.
Then we'll go with water.
I do coffee and water the rest of my life.
Unfiltered water. Yeah, I'll drink unfiltered like, water.
At that point, you might as well say milk is just water from a cow's stomach.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you can't.
It could be.
That reminds me, of the youth group kid that I had one time. He goes, I don't understand weather meteorologists. I go, why? He goes, because it's always 50-50. It'll either rain or it won't. I'm like, that is not how that works.
That's not true.
That's not how math works.
So a watermelon is 90% water. So is that okay?
Can that be water?
It's 10% melon.
But that,
what if I squeeze out the water?
But that water has seeds.
It's juicy.
Can I use a juicer to extract the natural waters? Okay,
whatever.
That was an easy one.
I'm thinking water.
Really yeah, I think we're getting into the pedantics and we're forgetting the spirit of the law on this one here. Okay, guys, let's take this seriously.
Okay, all right. Yeah, because that's what we do.
Yeah, like. All right. Would you rather be able to see 10 minutes into your own future or 10 minutes into the future of anyone but you?
Mm. Like all the time?
Yeah, you just have this whenever on hand ready to go.
What would be the benefit of seeing into other people's future?
Oh, I think that's much
Making
more beneficial.
Making money.
Mm. That's...
See it 10 minutes into my future. Mm. Who cares, right?
Yeah. It's just 10 dumb minutes after this.
Yeah. Wow, he's still... Other people
it might sitting. Stop me from saying something, you know? Yeah,
no he's still sitting on the toilet. 10 minutes.
I got to send you a TikTok.
He's still doom scrolling on the John.
Wow, he laughed once. That'd be me.
My question with that is, do you get to
wait a minute? You're telling me that's what I would see 10 minutes into your future? I gotta see a bunch of that.
Do you? I wonder if it means do you see like a full 10 minute show, or do you see like one moment 10 minutes from now? Because that's different. Like, do you have to time it out just right?
10 minutes. What's the wording?
It says, would you rather be able to see 10 minutes into your own future or 10 minutes into the future of anyone but yourself. So I think that sounds more like you're seeing one moment 10 minutes
moment.
From now.
Yeah.
That is straight up a plot to a Nicolas Cage movie. So just go watch the movie and you can decide whatever.
It's like the butterfly effect.
I like the one with Denzel Washington.
Ooh. Yeah.
They're like, oh yeah, this satellite.
Out of time.
The satellite is so far from Earth it can see the past, or something like that. And then he's like, well, what if we go the other way through it?
I don't know what movie that is.
Out of Time.
I don't know.
It's good.
As opposed to the movie In Time.
Terrible.
In Time,
which had Justin Timberlake.
So if I'm looking into somebody's future and I only get a moment, do I get like the whole word? Or
Yeah. How long is this moment?
I mean, I guess it's like maybe it's however long you decide to stay there looking. It's like however long you dip your face in the water.
Then I could get the full.
You could sit there and like watch.
Did
for
you
10
just
minutes,
Harry Potter this?
I mean, you are reading. Like,
I'm thinking of an event horizon, something like that that you're kind of peering into.
A Lord of the Rings feel to that too.
Yeah. Galadriel's pool or bowl thing. Yeah. You know what's happening, Bryce?
Yeah, I'm a nerd. I know.
Yeah, you are.
It's fine. Andrew, you didn't give your answer.
I think I would like to see into other people's futures because I think that most of the time, if I was looking into my own, it'd be in dealing with other people, so I could just do the person in front of me at the time. If I'm by myself, I don't think I really need to see into the future that bad most of the time.
Unless.
Hey, look, I'm still alone.
I have a good idea of what I'll be doing.
I have a calendar for that. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I am still sitting at this door waiting for the next forklift to roll through.
Am I going to get up and get McDonald's? I don't know.
More Wendy's? I'll just make that call in 10 minutes.
If I need to know if a baby's about to wake up, I just check the baby.
Yep.
Okay. I think it'd be much funnier if it has to be, you got to be in contact with them. It's like, hold still.
Don't move. Don't touch your face.
I got Spock your face for a second. All right. Oh, yeah. We had, there's one that's not right here, but I remember. Would you rather, if you had the chance to time travel once and it's a permanent change, you get to go there and you never get to come back, would you rather travel 500 years into the future or 500 years into the past?
So, is that my future?
I think it would be. I mean, 500 years, it's definitely not yours anymore.
Yeah, you're dead.
Unless you think there's going to be a lot of scientific advances. I mean, you'd still be you just traveling.
Okay.
So you're traveling there as the gym we see right here is going 500 years one way or the other. So yeah, you're not.
Do I get to pick where I'm going?
But you said you got to stay.
It's a permanent change. Yeah, it's a one-time trip, and it's a one-way ticket. There's no coming back.
From the location I'm at? Or do I get to pick Paris?
I don't think the world's going to exist 1500s
Paris, man?
Years
I don't know.
From now.
What?
I don't think the world's going to exist 500 years from now.
That's a gamble you have to take, yeah.
So you'd be in a void.
You just kind of
like in outer space.
Pop into whatever happens after the heavens and earth
then
boil away. Yeah.
Why'd you gotta get all biblical on the game, Jim?
I think it's perfect.
Or God,
that's great.
God just like God's presence is just there, be like, oh, there you are. You're not supposed to do this. Just like grabs you, puts you back.
Stop it.
Fine, then I'll go to the past.
I'm going forward. I like technology and hoping that it advances more.
So you're gambling on us making good advances. Yeah.
And yet you guys all watch all these stupid dystopian movies and you think it's going to be better going forward?
Nope. But I'm just hoping because I know what it was like 500 years ago and it wasn't that great.
So like let's
I think forward's better.
Let's think of the 1520s. What was happening in the
1520s? Martin Luther.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Protestant Reformation.
I don't speak German, so.
I'm sure you could pick it up.
Most of the Germans didn't either. Like they couldn't read German. That's what I'm thinking.
That's not the same thing.
Dang.
No, they could read German. They couldn't read Latin. That was the whole point.
That's true.
That's what was going on.
That was a tough one.
Would I be in America?
What?
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
Would I be in the middle of Iowa then? 500 years ago?
Yeah, there's no one here.
You'll be running from some Sioux Indians. They're not going to be super thrilled to see you.
Yeah. Probably.
Do I get to pick where I'm
You're
going?
Now a white devil.
Right.
You
get to set the parameters of the game.
Okay, so if you're getting that specific with like you're in the exact same time and place, you're probably gonna appear in like the chance of Earth being in the exact same spot is not so great either because it's
also
might be on the other side of the sun.
That's true.
So let's say that you get to choose the landing point.
Hmm. Was it warmer back then?
You gotta go find out, I guess.
Stop it.
It's a dumb question.
Aim for a temperate climate.
Antarctica.
We're moving on.
That sounds right.
Was there McDonald's?
Here's the question while you're finding the next one.
Was there a prehistoric McDonald's?
What? Let's just say, okay, so while you're finding the next one, and if you did go back to 1525, what could you even bring with your knowledge that would help you at all?
Nothing.
Look at my pants.
They're going to think I'm crazy.
Well, I mean, what would you be able to do? There's nothing you could do. It's not like you could play the stock market. Stock market doesn't, like, going back there would be
know how to forge my own food.
See, you'd be hosed.
Forage. First of all, he said forge, so forage? Yeah, you screwed.
Forage.
Wrong word.
So if you'd like to beat it with a hammer while
hammer
it's hot,
and
you
an
can
anvil.
Feel free.
Why am I not getting donuts?
You can forage your food out of metal if you'd like.
You're trying to forage, I think.
That's what I said.
Berries.
I realized I said the wrong word, yes.
We knew what you meant. There's just no grace here for that.
Bryce is dead on the first mushroom. That's what's going. He's going to eat.
I wonder if this is fine.
Something red with black specks on it.
Okay, let's be clear. He's not eating any vegetables, regardless of what millennia he jotted.
He's going to have some.
We got a cheeseburger on here.
He's going to have some medium rare rabbit.
What can you eat, rabbit medium rare? Jim?
I wouldn't.
I feel like you would know.
This is a weird would you rather. This is like they're not like opposites necessarily. It's just two options, but it's obscure. So we're going to go for it. Would you rather be able to dodge anything no matter how fast it's moving? So think Neo in the Matrix, mm-hmm. Or ask any three questions and have them answered accurately and correctly without any deceit.
Oh, I want the questions.
So you get three questions.
I am 40 years old and yet to be shot at, and there's a bunch of times that I've wanted to know the real answer to something.
Okay. I got in a dodgeball fight with my wife tonight. I want to dodge her. I got hit right in the face. I want
to
dodge.
Well, you guys got dodgeballs ready to go.
I have a 3-year-old and a 10-year-old boy. That's why. There's always balls everywhere.
Wow. Are they like gym class dodgeballs from 20 years ago? Like doink? Like
they're like the balls from Tilt.
Lame.
Sorry?
Yeah.
I'm still going questions.
Questions sound more useful.
Sure.
Do I get to ask God?
Questions.
Yeah, you can ask anybody.
Yeah, good luck.
Well,
he doesn't know the answer.
For the purposes of this exercise, he would anyway.
All I would do is look at each. What do you really think of me? Sucks to be you in that moment. Sucks to be you in that moment. Don't want to answer that.
I would still answer that.
Well, I only get three. I'm going to be careful.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't care what you think of me.
That's true. That's true. Better question. What did you do with the money? Where did you put the money? What is your PIN number? No, I'm just kidding. That's nefarious.
A personal identification number.
All right.
Yeah.
Do we want one more of these?
You get one more.
One more of these?
What,
all right.
What did you do last summer?
Not a lot.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. One of the three questions you ask, they have to answer truthfully, but they don't know the answer. What a waste. Ooh, like, I wouldn't remember that answer. Like, I wouldn't be lying to you if I said
I was mostly referencing
a movie.
I think it'd be fun if it could, like, the situation itself spawned the knowledge in whoever you asked. So you could grab some random dude and be like, I need the meaning of everything. And they'd be like, oh, now I know. It's like their eyes go, like, starry, and they're like, whoa.
Like that.
No. And, like, they open their mouth and a rainbow comes out.
Ooh, or fire.
What is this, Revelation?
Or fire from the head of the guy that wrote the Passion Translation.
Oh.
Yeah.
He burnt down a church, apparently.
What? I'm sure it was accidental.
I think so. Or it's, I'm assuming it's like a...
He was like cooking ramen. Pie. He was cooking ramen in the green room.
Yeah. I left my coffee cup in the microwave.
He forgot to put the water in the ramen.
Yeah. He just put it in the oven.
What's the last one you got?
Okay. All right. Would you guys rather go like superpowers or would you rather go with the Broadway?
What?
Yeah.
Hang on.
I got two to, no, that's not the question.
Oh.
I'm giving you guys options for the last
Broadway.
Yeah. Would you rather question?
You don't get rich off of superpowers. We all know that.
Ask Peter Parker.
Yeah, ask Peter Parker. You got superpowers. All right. And he's broke.
still lives in Queens.
Or we could do two questions.
He still sews his
Just
suits.
Read them.
Let's go.
Okay. Would you rather be forced to dance every time you heard music or be forced to sing along to any song you heard?
Oh, my God. That'd be a nightmare.
Sing. Sing. I don't like dancing.
I would. Oh. But what if I'm driving?
I'd pick sing then if I were you. Just if you listen to music in the car.
Yeah.
And also think about the fact that, like, not every song has words.
Not every song has
words. So if it's an instrumental, I imagine you're free.
La 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 la.
To not have to scat along to it.
Yeah, I'm picking
sing. But.
Sorry for your sorry for everybody's ears.
Every song can be danced to. Not all of them well. But every song can be danced to.
Yep.
That's true.
In the car, it's just dangerous.
I'd go with the dance.
I'm dancing.
Can't dance.
I can't either.
But
I can't sing or dance.
I can't sing or dance, Brandon.
I'll sing.
We know, because you can sing. Look at me, I can sing.
I'd go with singing.
Okay. Says the two singers in the room.
There are five singers in the room.
We all sing in some way.
You didn't say good singer. You said singer.
I want to slap you.
All right. Last question. Would you rather 5% of the world's population have telepathy or 5% of the population have telekinesis? You are not part of this 5%.
Damn.
So
you don't get any.
So, you don't get to have it. Just 5% of the people out there can either read minds or move things with their mind.
That is absolutely horrific.
That.
So we're talking either like psychic fights with like throwing cars at each other, or we're talking about people reading minds out there for fun. No barriers, no guards to what's in your brain.
That's a nightmare. Both of those are a nightmare.
Yeah.
I'd rather dodge things.
Now I wish I had that dodge thing.
I picked dodge.
I picked questions,
and now there's a car in the air.
I didn't pick one of those, so I'll take dodge.
Okay. Wait, what?
It's like, now that I know this question, I'm going with dodge stuff.
I will go dodge because I don't want anyone to read my mind.
I think I'd rather have to get out of the way of a flying lamppost than have to let people in.
Wait, which one's which again? Telekinesis is moving.
Telekinesis is moving.
Yeah, yeah, I picked that one. Yeah.
You're good with the fights?
I picked dodge, so I'm good.
Okay.
What would it hurt for someone to read someone's mind?
It hurt me.
Well,
hurt my
so
feelings.
So being hit by a car.
Yeah, but I might die. Like, I might be
instant.
You're
not going to die if someone reads your mind.
But I would want to.
That's completely different.
The Lord already knows all your thoughts, Brandon.
I know, but that's different.
Is it?
I don't want someone that could use my thoughts against me. God doesn't use my thoughts against me.
That's true.
You can trust God.
They're like, why are you thinking about having a speech in your underwear right now? I'm like, because I'm nervous. You're looking into my brain.
I see one safeguard I have against the mind reading is that, like, if they're trying to get my, like, PIN number, I might not remember right now. Like, oh, I'm spacing, dude. It's like, where is it? It's not in the brain. You got to wait till it comes back.
5% of the population has the ability. Somebody's going to be around you to take it from you.
Yeah.
Or
I know Ender's PIN.
You probably know it quicker than he does.
It's not that one.
Oh, you use a different one?
It's
for
not
that?
The one for our old church security system. No, okay. It's not that one.
You used a different number?
For like all my debit cards and stuff, yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Why would I use the same one?
Because you used to.
No, I had three different ones.
Three different
pins? I have three different pins, yeah, that I cycled.
Why?
Through.
What were they?
Because I don't want them to be all matched up, yeah. And then I won't use it again until I've gotten rid of a card or whatever, yeah.
God, I knew you.
I'm slightly responsible sometimes.
Proud of you, but... Okay. It's too much to remember.
These are all, I got them all. They're all in there for some reason.
You just said they're not.
Yeah, I know. I was joking. End of segment.
End.
Transition.
I could steal it. If I could steal your pen, I could take all your money.
All $12 out of that.
I was going to say, come get it. You can have whatever you want, buddy.
You can have my credit score too, man.
It was my transition. I'm sorry. It was as bad as Brandon.
Oh, no. So we were signing all the paperwork for the new house and stuff, and my credit score is actually really good right now, and I have no idea why.
Happens.
Yeah.
Happens and bumps.
I guess it's, yeah. We just.
Ramsey would say, I don't care. Credit scores are for losers.
I guess we just, like, lived within our means and paid stuff off.
Good for you.
There's an idea.
Yeah, it's crazy. A revolution with that talk. Would you calm down? I would like to talk more about greed.
Yeah.
How can I benefit from all of my money?
Specifically, Merry Chrysostom. Yes.
We are on the seven deadly sins. We are in our series. We went through pride last time or whatever, and now we're on greed.
We did a really good job last time.
I think we did.
I'm proud of
that. We were amazing.
I was pretty humbled about it.
I don't remember.
Just like I am right now. I'm so humble about my greed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, greed runs rampant everywhere. Be greed with money, greed with possessions, greedy with your friendships, I think, as well. We'll do some personal stuff, some communal stuff, and some global impacts of greed. We won't get crazy, but it all leads back to pride. We all kind of came to that consensus last time. I think that's the consensus that we will have this time. So Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, that to take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And in a time where consumerism and finding our identity in items rather than our identity in Christ, that is a perfect verse for us to ponder on. Am I accumulating things or money or power from my money to have an identity, or am I using it for like the good of my family or things like that, or the good of my community? Thoughts on greed right off the top. Anyone, just anybody right now.
As soon as you said that you could have greed by having a lot of friends, all I could think of was the dragon with their horde of friends underneath them. I sleep on a pile of friends.
No one can have these friends. These are my friends.
So that's where my mind is right now.
Well, that's what I am.
It's way away from where we need to be.
Oh, they're fine.
Why does greed have such an impact on us? I mean, why? I mean, I seen a kid. He was probably about 8 years old. I was watching football game, and you know they have different things that they do before the game starts. And this kid was there, and he got a signed football from one of the NFL players, and he froze. He just held that ball and just stared at it. He was just overwhelmed with having this football. Why?
So I would say Luke 12:34 says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so I think naturally, we're naturally built to want to worship, want to enjoy good things and take things outside of their proper place. And I think anything like that can be a manifestation of greed, is hoarding and having. I think that's interesting. What I think is more interesting to me personally is like the idea of hoarding is also like a weird greed thing. Like the fear of lack, the fear of I might need this again someday, but no one needs 37 2x4s that are 18 to 22 inches long. Like, you're not going to use them for anything.
That's like the nicest way of calling someone a hoarder. Like, I'm thinking more of like real hoarders.
Yeah,
like, really. Like,
okay, better example would be like, yeah, I mean, are you sure you're going to read that periodical from 1937 again? That's buried in the second stack of whatever. I think that. I mean, because you read from Luke 12, Brandon, and I think the picture of storing up for yourself money bags that don't wear out, and where your heart is, your treasure will be also, is there's something about security. There's something rooted in greed that is meant to take the place of God. And I think in this case, so pride was, I want to be my own boss. Greed is, I want to take care of myself. I want to be able to be self-made. I want to be able to do what I want. I want autonomy. I think that's what greed, the lie of the sin of greed gives us is the thought of autonomy, or that we can provide what we need for ourselves. The same, you know, why do you hoard all these things? Because if I might need it, and then I don't need anybody to help me. I already have it, and then I'm self-sustaining. I'm self-reliant. And I don't need anything, anyone, especially God, taking care of me. I'm taking care of myself. I think that's what the root of it can get down to.
I'd add to that another facet, not just the illusion of autonomy, but also I think a fear or lack of trust in God's providence. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a big factor there that, like, I don't really believe that God is always going to give me everything I need, because at some point in my life I felt like I didn't have what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And instead of trusting that, like, he gave you what you needed, even if it's not what you wanted, you instead decide that he's not reliable. And so I'm going to fill up warehouses. I'm going to make sure my bank account has a big enough nest egg or whatever, a cushion, you know? Mm-hmm. And while it's wise to save money, it's not a bad thing to save money and to be responsible with your income, it is not wise or good to only store it up and not let it go anywhere, not let it be used for the kingdom, not do anything with it except keep it. Mm-hmm. And just have it for the sake of having it. This is a very loose connection here, but there's a show I like on TV called Leverage.
Great.
And it's kind of a modern day Robin Hood, kind of a heist show. Yeah.
A hoist show. They're lifting things out of the chassis.
And so, like, every episode, it's kind of like a tiny Ocean's 11. It's always about, like, how they pull off some new thing to hit the man and take care of people being oppressed. And the one character in it, she's crazy, and she's part of the team, and she doesn't want money for anything other than to just have money. Like, she sleeps on a pile of cash in her, like, storage unit apartment. Like, and they're like, what do you do with all your money? She's like, I keep it. I just like money. And it's like, that's funny in the show, and it's meant to be a gimmick, but it really is kind of a thing that people have a problem with. It's like, I just want money because I want to have money. Uh-huh. Because money is safety, money is security, money is how I know that I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
And which means that you're trusting that money, you're worshiping that money, not God, who can actually provide everything you need and will do what's best for you because he knows what's best.
Yeah, I think there's misplaced motivations, like security, right? But I think there's also the motivation of, if I have the right stuff, people will like me. Yeah. I'll be accepted. And if I have the cool stuff. So I think there's that motivation is, I think there's probably more than just those two as well. If we think about it as to why I want to have stuff.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I think when we introed the seven deadly sins two episodes ago, we talked about how they're all multifaceted, like different sides of the same blob.
Yeah.
As like a, try to kind of like a dark and unequivalent contradiction to God being a multifaceted being and having, you know, he has 1,000 names,
mm-hmm.
and he's good and perfect in every way. And sin has all these different faces that are still all just sin.
Yeah.
And so I think in the same way, each of the sins that we're looking at has a lot of different ways that they can manifest and be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I think going back to that, the definition of greed is an insatiable desire for material possessions or wealth. And then it goes on to, so it can lead to dissatisfaction or idolatry of material items or material goods. So we put our identity rather in the man-made rather than God the creator. And so that's why we attach ourselves to the things that we buy or the things that we think we are through items or money, because we're not satisfied in what God has already given us. And that's why greed can lead to envy, because we see someone else that has something that we want, and we feel we deserve, although we haven't earned it. And then we hate them and we burn with rage against these people, because I'm like, you're like, God, I deserve this, don't I? Even though I put no effort in to, like, moving that way, or like, and it might not even be what you need.
I wouldn't even say that. There are people that move and try and get there, and they think they deserve it, and then someone else gets that thing I mean, talk about promotions or whatever, but like, they've worked really hard for this promotion and they think they deserve it. And because they're so amazing at this position or whatever it is, and they don't get it and someone else gets it. And I mean, that's, it doesn't matter if they deserve it or not. It's still greed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to have it and you don't have to be rich.
Right.
Yeah. I think greed can manifest itself in the poor as well as the wealthy or or however that looks. And in our age, another area that we can find greed that's not necessarily directly monetary is how many likes I got on my social posts or how many hits I got.
Oh, you
got
to calm down with that, Jay.
Oh, man.
And, you know, Jim. I don't have as many as this person over here, and it's
can't tell you how nice it is to not have social media anymore.
Isn't it nice?
It's so nice. And now we're talking about social media us. But
we're literally recording a podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
we talk about our stats.
There's nothing social about that.
Yeah. Really?
Well, at the same time, is money in itself evil, or is it the desire for money that's evil? I mean, that the greed becomes, right?
Money, it's, I think the Bible verse is like money can lead to all kinds of evil, not... Money is evil.
The love of money.
The love of money.
Love of money.
Yeah.
Kinds of evil.
Yes. Yeah. The love of money.
Yeah. Yes.
And so
money is a necessity. Yeah. I mean, you have to have it. Yeah.
So that's my question. So how much should we think about money? How much should we think about? So the word I would use for what like Andrew was talking about would be like stewardship, right? He talked about how do you save, you know, saving your money, being smart with your money, doing the right things with your money. We also have texts like, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. You know, provide for yourself, provide for your family. If you don't, you're worse than an unbeliever. That's, I think, in Timothy. And so we have these commands to be, you know, Proverbs, be diligent, be fruitful, you know. So, you know, then you got ministries like, you know, Dave Ramsey, like, hey, you really need to take your money seriously and do a good job with this. You know, but how do we know, you know, what are some ways that maybe you guys, I mean, if we're just talking practically, like how do you guys know if you're, hey, I've stepped over the line of being a good steward to now obsessing with my financial situation or lack thereof. Like, how do you guard yourselves from greed or that?
I'm not there, so I have no idea.
Well, none of us have arrived, but yeah. You know, but I do think God works with, you know, gives us wisdom.
I think probably that might be the main. God does not need our money,
right?
Right? Hmm. He just doesn't. But if I can give some of my money away or back to him to tithe, if you will, that kind of causes me to let loose of it, to let go of it. So I think I would almost argue that tithing is probably the primary way to cut ties from greed, because we start to learn how to let go.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully you would start looking at needs of others around you as well. That would, hopefully, like, if you're letting go of the grip that you have on your monetary wealth or anything like that, that you would be able to look and see, like, well, does someone need a meal? Can I provide a meal? Can I give a check anonymously or something like that? Not to be proud or arrogant in giving, but it's just like, I think it should cause us, because we were given much, we should be able to give as well.
Great platitudes. Yeah. How do you do it?
Oh, through lots of prayer and sanctification.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, I up until I met Becca, who's my wife.
Glad you finally filled me in.
You guys know, not everyone listening knows my wife's name.
How they do?
That's her nickname.
Yeah, I wonder what it's short for. Right,
anyway, up until I met Becca, I was very, 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 very greedy. Which was absolutely, go for it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Ironically, I was also very poor.
they can go hand in hand.
Yeah, and so I never tithed. I never gave money to people that needed it more than me. I just hoarded it to myself because, well, I liked playing the victim a lot, and I still am not great at not playing the victim. But
now you just are the victim.
Now I just
see, I'm here to help. Keep going.
Thank you.
If you want to be a victim? I can make you a victim.
Like I, thank you. I still don't. It's like not like something that I automatically think about, but she does very much. So somebody, she sees somebody that needs something. It's like almost like Bryce. We have to give them this money. We have to help them in this manner. Like, and I'm like, cool. You handle our money. We can afford it. Sweet. Let's donate whatever money to these people. But I don't know. Back up a little bit. In 2020, I got COVID. 2021, I couldn't walk for like 3 or 4 months. Couldn't walk at all, except with a walker and a lot of assistance from Becca. All stemming from the COVID nonsense. I'm fine now. Can walk. It's great. But I couldn't work, and my job at the time didn't have any PTO offered. And so we were screwed. And without Becca posting on Facebook, hey, we need help. We got more help than any money I would have made at my job. And me being greedy, I was like, yeah, cool, let's just keep it. And she's like, no, like, we made too much. We don't need this. Let's offer back to the people that donated it. And all of them said no. And she's like, okay, cool. We're going to find someone that does need it more than us. And so, like, that was, like, the biggest, like, light bulb moment for me. Like, yeah, we don't need to keep it. Like, there are people hurting. We were hurting and people donated. Why the heck would we not do the same? And that's the mindset that I want to continue to have in my life, is like, I don't need all of this money. It's not helping me do amazing things. So let me give it to somebody that really does need it.
Okay. So Becca's taken. So can't marry Becca. So very obviously she's got it dialed in.
Yes.
Which is great. And maybe your wives do too.
I was going to say, for me, marrying Brittany was about the same. As far as like,
my wife is very generous too.
I think for me, it wasn't necessarily an attitude of greed in itself. For me, it was more of a sloth thing.
Mm. I think, we haven't got there yet. What is that?
I know. Well, they tie in. Calm
they down. All come together.
I was just never like, my knee-jerk reaction was never, oh, go help them. Anytime someone ever asked me for anything, I was happy to hand it out.
Always.
And be like, hey, yeah, come on, let's go. Or they're like, you know, we'd go out to eat and they're like, hey, can you get me? I don't have it. I was like, yeah, I got you. Come on, let's go. But I never was able to consider someone before they asked. And that, I think, for me, I don't know if it was just like a laziness of the mind, not working hard to like look at other people and reach out and see what needs are there. And Brittany's really good at that. She's really good at being like, hey, this person, they're not going to ask, but they need some help. And I was like, well, let's do something. Yeah, that's great. And so not quite the same, but... No, just coming from a different.
It's the same concept,
sin, but yeah, it's the same.
Yeah, no, Bernie is great at that. Yep.
And so yeah, it's the trick is marrying someone who does a good job.
Yeah, sounds like women are better at this than men, at least in this group.
When I came to know Christ, I think greed was probably my number one issue in life.
Yeah.
So I struggled, and when it came to the tithing thing, I struggled a lot. And but it was God's grace that kind of carried me on. Older now, but like what you were saying, I relate to the things you were saying. And you know, I'm greedy and I'm poor. I got nothing, which is crazy, you know, but God has seemed honored that, starting to let loose or let go. So that's been it's been a really hard journey for me, but it's been a good journey, and I'm in a good place with it. So I think if I have an issue, it's more with time. I'm kind of greedy with my time.
Oh man, that's a different take too.
Interesting.
Wow.
Well, I am greedy with my money, so. money's hard.
That's why Brandon's not talking this whole time.
Like, I'm listening.
I can't buy guitars and vinyls with time.
I'm just listening and kind of taking in. Yeah. I want to hear everyone's journey with this, because I know with me, I'm, you know, I thought I'd be in a different place than I would be. Right, like in my life, and money brings security for me, and I don't make a lot of it. I mean, and I always have to look back, and Bethany reminds me, so another wife tale, but like Bethany reminds me that since we started having kids, and God has always provided, and we've never gone without food. We've never gone without being able to pay our rent or our mortgage, and we're able to keep the lights on. It might not be flashy and as sophisticated or whatever that I thought it would be, but I mean, God has provided for me, and I have to learn to let go of the material things that might make me feel something in the moment, but I'll always replace it with more material things that might make me feel good in the moment. And then we'll be in a cycle of I'm not depending on God to sustain me and comfort me and guide me. I'm using things to do that. And so that's, I don't know if it's been a journey for me with that, and like letting go of things and letting go of attachment to material things. And it's hard. And I quote unquote relapse back into it. And like buying physical Bibles is something like that, like something that is good, but I just buy them because they make me feel good or like I need them. Like, so just buy them.
It's something I will literally never understand.
I'm like, well, it's nice. I like that. Like, that looks really nice. And I might use it once.
It's $107.
I never buy that much. I've never spent that amount of on a Bible. But
what about you, Brett?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, okay.
This Bible was $35.
I'm proud of you.
Now you want to talk about a box of pencils?
I get those for $20, $25.
Yeah, I think for me it's just I'm letting my fear guide. I'm letting my fear of being embarrassed and not having enough guide what I do with my money or how I don't give my money to others that would need it. That I may be able to bless people. Like, I want to be able to bless people, not for praise, but just to help people. You know. And that means you have to let go of some things. You have to let go of some attachment. And so, okay, I don't want to talk anymore. So,
end of segment.
It does help, just for the record.
I don't want to vomit.
I do live in my in-laws' basement for relatively free. That helps us be able to do the things that we do. And that is a large portion of why we do what we do.
And his in-laws live in my basement.
You don't not in your basement.
Just the same floor.
Just the other side. Also, not his in-laws.
Yeah, it was the joke.
Wait, my in-laws.
Yeah, that was the joke.
No.
You live in my sub basement.
It's like the end of Men in Black.
Yeah.
So Hebrews 13:5 says, "Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have. For He has said, 'I will never leave you, nor forsake you.' So we can confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper; I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" So there is some sort of connection with this. Love of money isn't necessarily loving paper or loving coin, but there's something about this desire that to be discontent is. So I would take love of money to be some sort of discontentment with station status or ability. And I think that it is probably one of the most evergreen ways for us to actively engage faith on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. To have to say, God, it is better for me to live on 90% and faith in you than 100% in my own wisdom, is the daily, weekly, monthly fight of the idol of greed and money. And so, and the promise is, I will never leave you or forsake you. So when the checking account is running down and it's getting low and it's not where you're not where you want to be, or you thought you would be at this age, the whole point is, like, it's not about status. It's not about autopilot. It's not about constantly stacking up wins. It's about dependency on Christ. And I think the reason why so many Christians are, you know, I think of James 2, where it talks about just how the poor and those who are, you know, the who are the ones that don't show partiality in church? Because why do you show partiality to the rich people? Are they not the ones that take you into courts and attack you? You know, exalt the lowly things, right? That's James 2. And I think for so many of us, it's, you know, there's never enough money. Huh. It's never like, you're never, because your heart is automatically going to say, well, enough money is always just a little bit more than what I have. Yeah. It just doesn't matter.
What's that stat? They ask everybody, how much more do you need? Do you feel like you're good? Like you're good to go? It was like 15.
15.
Yeah, 15%.
Everyone's like 15% more and I'll be good.
Yeah.
And that's no matter what.
It's a mirage.
What demographic they were in, no matter what bracket they were in.
Yeah.
As like someone who makes six figures a year versus someone who makes like 40,000 a year. Mm-hmm. It's 15%.
Yeah. I watch this dude on LinkedIn that goes around and asks,
how'd you make that money?
How'd you make the money? Yeah. How'd you make that? And they're like, almost every single one of them doesn't want to talk at first, but then they're like, oh yeah, I made all this and I was poor before. And then I did all this amazing stuff.
It's like it's American catnip.
It is American catnip. Yep. Always.
Like, I too could own a Beamer someday. Well, I couldn't think of a better car. Beamers are terrible.
I hustled always while I lived in my uncle's guest house.
I think in that verse, the key is contentment. Yeah. And the thing is, you can't achieve contentment. You have to decide to be content.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah.
So I mean, because we try to have enough so we can be content, or we try to create a situation we can be content in. And the reality is, you have to decide. Mm-hmm. So literally, I'm going to be content with where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a heart condition, not a social condition.
Correct.
Right.
Because it's a financial condition or anything else.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And the contentment is in Christ. It's not, okay, I'm going to take my medicine and just learn to live on $40,000. That's not contentment. That's giving up. Like, contentment is saying, this is my take on it, is actively expressing my love and faith and devotion in Christ and saying, no matter what my money situation is, I will be content in it, knowing that you do all things well and will truly provide for me and never leave me hanging. That is contentment. Contentment is not taking your medicine. Contentment is leaning into the Lord.
Yes.
That's contentment. So any contentment, there's no such thing as contentment apart from Christ in anything, let alone money matters.
Yeah. I trust God has my back. And I'm going to be content in the outcome, regardless of what it is, in my favor or not.
Right.
Yeah. I think I did. I had like a bunch of notes I wrote in my notebook and on here, but I went to Matthew 6, verse 14, mm-hmm. where it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. I mean, you cannot serve God and money. And then the note I wrote, it says, if you try to serve God, or if you try to serve anything else, you'll end up resenting or hating God. So it's like if you put anything else over God, like you'll end up not liking God. Like you'll
that's
hate
crazy.
Him.
So going back to my story, when I first came to know Christ, mm-hmm. my issue was greed. So I'm reading through the Bible for the very first time. And, you know, if you're like me, I kind of think ahead a little bit while I'm reading, right? You can't serve two masters. You can't serve both God and so I'm thinking ahead. Money was not where I was at. So I was stopped dead in my tracks.
Yeah.
What? Mm. What? My options are God or money? He could have put any kind of options in there. He could have put anything, but he didn't. He said God or money, you know, and that impacted me. Yeah. It took me a long time to get past that.
Like, yeah, are you sure about that, God? Like,
yeah, right?
Like, are you sure, positive? Like, yeah.
He
like,
shook so many people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody makes trade-offs. And I mean, what I appreciate about the way Jesus says that is like he makes it a clear cut. Because if he said anything other than that, then it could potentially give license to greed. It's like, well, God, your Bible says, you know, the proverb says to be diligent. It says to be smart with your money. And so, like, we then can take the step very easily to say, okay, I'm just being smart about my money. I'm just being smart about my career.
Yeah.
I'm just being smart about these things. And I'm not serving money. I don't love money. I'm just doing the best that I can because I'm glorifying God. Really? Would you go to work tomorrow for $30,000 a year less? My guess is no. Mm-hmm. You'd probably take a different job. Yeah. So let's just call it what it is and be real.
Well, it just sounds like a televangelist, everything you just said. I mean, honestly.
I sound like a television?
No. Everything you just said is like what they would say. Yeah, I don't do all this for money. I do it for the glory of God. No, I mean, you're doing it for
then
money.
Then take it off the TV and show me how much glory there.
Yeah. Let's be honest.
Or give it away.
And
give
not
it away.
That I'm give throwing shade. Yeah. I'm just saying.
I am.
That's fine.
Well,
I mean, I'm just being honest.
What's cool is he kind of gives us a little barometer here. Mm-hmm. I can watch my life then. I can kind of pay attention. Where am I going here? Am I starting to get a little frustrated with the things of God? Right? Because he's asking things of me.
I think it's so fascinating that what directly follows that in both Matthew and Luke is then don't be anxious.
Yeah, I was just getting into that. I was just going to get into that. Yeah. But I think it's...
So thanks for stealing
thank
that,
you.
Brett.
No, it means we're on the same wavelength here.
Yeah. So, like, I did. I stole your thunder. All of it. I'm like... Go ahead.
No, you're fine. No, I think it's just interesting how Jesus knew even then and to now what we would struggle with is that less money makes us anxious, especially when you have mouths to feed, a home to live in, because I think there is a glorification in this idea of like everything falling apart. So you see that in movies and television shows, like things just fall apart for people. And then you have this triumphant rise back to power kind of thing, or like back to prosperity. But I feel like that just unintentionally makes us paranoid that it's just going to happen to us and that what people are going to think of us. Like, wow, he really screwed himself up and he burnt all of his money to the ground and he burnt his home to the ground. Look what he did to his family because he wasn't responsible enough for... like with the things that he was given. I'm like, well, but things happen. Like we have current events right now where people's homes are gone from just natural storms, like storms that just happen
or fires.
Right? And so it's like, are we pointing at them and saying, look what you did that you can't rebuild your home that you bought 40 years ago for a quarter of the price that it's worth now. And you have no insurance for it because the insurance companies have dropped you. Like, look what you've done. Like, we're not pointing our finger at them. We're pointing at, like, systems. But these systems aren't inherently good. And so we can't put our faith in a system that's just going to fail us. That's not what we can do. Like, we have to put our faith in something deeper, which is Jesus. Okay, my house burned to the ground. But I know that you will provide shelter for me. I know that you will provide food for me. It might not be in the way that I want it, but it will be in a way that I need it. And I think it's that changing our wants into needs. Like, what do I need? Well, I need to eat. I need to provide. I need to give all of these anxieties to Jesus so that I can live for him. But I can also live for others like he commands us to do, to love God and to love others. Pause.
Dropped.
What are we pausing for?
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Mike, are we supposed to keep going or stop?
No,
the bathroom break?
So I think part of the do not be anxious piece is, again, it goes back to pride.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it goes, and ultimately I think it goes back to lack of faith. Lack of faith, I think, is the key. So I don't know why I don't see lack of faith as the issue with pride. I mean, you could probably say lack of faith with all of it, but I think specifically with greed, it's a lack of faith because ultimately what it comes down to is money and the things that work and income give you this sense of I can do this or I can do that or I can have what I need, or the more insidious sin is, I deserve this. Mm. I've been, you know, so the age I am now, I'm 40 years old, you know, I deserve certain benchmarks in my career because I've been working for so long or whatever. And it's an affront to me that I would ever not get the next step, the next promotion, the next raise, because that's not how it works in America. In America, the longer you work in a career, the more money you make, the more prosperous you will be. And if I don't get that there's something wrong here. And I think what the Bible would tell us is those things, if they do work out for you, and typically if you're a diligent worker, you do see, you know, but that's not a promise. But I mean, there's a general ebb and flow of your career. But at the end of the day, God decides, am I enough for you? Am I enough for you if your career stalls out, or you take a, you know, the stock market takes a dump, and you know you don't have the money in your 401k, or your car breaks down. Is all that stuff that's just commonplace to everybody going to cause you to have a lack of faith in my goodness for you? Because isn't that the first thing we say? We're like, God, why me? What do you mean? Your first person to ever have a car with 200,000 miles on it ever get broke? Are you serious? this is the first. This is the affront that's happening to you because of your upright moral character and piety?
That light's been on your dashboard for 6 months.
Can we tell me?
This is your fault at this point.
When was the last time you changed the oil?
You're supposed to change your oil?
I got a buddy that I say, every time he buys a new car, I go, hey, did you need an oil change on the other one? Shout out to Alex. I hope you're listening.
Anyway. Oh, that's... Yeah, so are you saying like there's some responsibility to be given to like stewarding our material possessions?
Yeah, I would say there's a responsibility. I think,
and I but can and like can being a good steward of our things be glorifying to God?
I think it has to be.
Yeah,
I think even if we're giving our everything away and we're not doing it to glorify God, that doesn't honor Him either.
Mm-hmm.
So if I in America, you know, you can give away 10% of your money and there's a tax benefit to being a certain level of a philanthropist. Thank you.
Very close to a different word that you
which I felt like was kind of come out if I didn't ask you. this country incentivized people to have a certain level of giving. And so I would say yes, but I think so. I would say generosity is a fruit that comes from the root of faith and trust in God. Good, healthy, God honoring, worshipful generosity is that. And so, again, I don't think you can give your way into the kingdom. It's not a work. You can't be generous enough to do that. That's not what we're saying here. And I don't think anybody would even take that thought. But what I'm saying is if you're truly generous and you do see needs and you do want to help and you want to give things away, that should come from a heart that says, God, this is all yours anyway. I want to use my goods for the good of your kingdom, because there's nothing I'll give up on this side of heaven that I won't see in return millions of times over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't matter. We don't need to hold it.
Yeah.
We don't even know what this life will bring. I mean, the story right before. Because it's so funny, when we were talking about Luke 12, you were talking about hoarding, and that's the parable of the rich fool, which is right before in Luke 12. He said, I'm going to build double the silos, and I'm going to have all this. I'm going to sit and I'm going to live fat off the land for the next 10 years. And mm-hmm. You fool.
Yeah.
Your soul is due of you tonight.
Yeah.
So can't hoard it. Ain't going to do nothing. Storing it up.
No, that's, yeah. That's really
should
good.
Should we, as... Never mind.
No, go.
No, I
shoot it.
Nope, I don't have a fully formed thought. I'm not doing that. So
okay. You have a fully formed thought?
That for a little bit.
No, yeah.
I'm gonna cook.
Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will be enriched, and the one who gives a drink of water will receive water. 26 would say, people will curse anyone who hoards grain, but a blessing will come to the one who sells it. The one who searches for what is good, seeks favor, but if one looks for trouble, it will come to him. And anyone trusting in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. Just seems like we're supposed to let go. And
that's what I was going to say. I remembered a story about Spurgeon. Spurgeon had heard that there was a single mother that wasn't able to provide for her family. And he ended up, I think it was, he had bought chickens, and he sold the eggs, and he took every single dime from selling those eggs, and he gave it to that family to provide for him. So you want to talk about, like, a God-honoring entrepreneurial effort. He goes to the trouble of finding a way to generate income, and then he doesn't keep a dime of it. He just gives it all to this family that needs it. I think that's just such a fascinating view. I mean, and again, not to make much of living people either. I think it's always dangerous to... But, you know, a guy like like, you know, John Piper doesn't take any of his royalty money for his books.
Yeah.
The idea that you would write a bestseller that could make you a millionaire to say, I don't want that, that is so foreign to me. Mm-hmm. I could not, I can't fathom, like, being that disconnected from money. I also heard a story about him, because I've heard about him, is that they came to him at his church one time and said, you need a raise.
Yeah.
He says, I don't need more money. Why? He goes, we can't hire people, good people, because to get them, we would have to pay them more than we're paying you. And also, he goes,
give them raises.
And he goes, yeah. Why do I need to make the most money? Just because I'm the preacher, I don't need to make the most money. Give it to everyone. That's insane to me.
Yeah.
Like that kind of being that divorced from money is true. And again, no one knows his heart. And we all want to not be proud. But that kind of stuff is like catnip for me. It's like, what if you could just be that free from the love of money? That sounds.
What is it? Where do the royalties go for his books then?
Desiring God. So it pays for all
that.
Oh,
pays for all that.
So the whole staff that he can run a whole ministry. And he takes a salary from there now. He's retired. And again, he doesn't take royalties. He gets a salary. Whatever it is, it says, here's what we're going to pay you this year. He's like, that's fine.
Yeah, that's foreign to me.
It's foreign to anybody. Anyway, so.
Oh, we had our friend Dave Ryder.
Shout out.
Dave Ryder.
But he went up to Minneapolis and
knocked on John
Piper's door and met him. Insane. And I saw the house and I was like.
It's not nice. Or not big.
No, super normal house.
No, it's a super normal house.
Normal neighborhood.
And I just.
It's in walking distance to the church. He walked for 40 years to the church.
I just looked. I'm like, my gosh. Like, my mentality has been like, shoot for the stars, become famous, do these things. And then.
He got it.
He has it. But he doesn't live that way.
No.
And so he and certain other like Christian leaders, I'm like, okay, we can do this. Like, we can switch our mindset and we can ask God to help us be content where we are and serve the places that we are and the neighborhoods that we live in rather than not having our mind somewhere else. Like, God, help me be present to my current situation. And if this is the life I have, oh no. So there's a pastor I listen to. His name's Josh White. And before he became a pastor, he was a musician and then that fell through because he got married and they started having kids. So he needed a job, right? He needed a job that would provide for him and his young family. And he was working, he was a painter. Like, he would paint homes or like different businesses. And there was a time he talked about, he was complaining. He's just like, God, I want to do something else. But he's like, but if this is all I am and this is all I do, help me to have joy in it. And I was like, gosh, it hit me like a stone.
That's something you talk about a lot.
Yeah, I was just like, God, let me be happy where I am and let me be content with what I have and change me. Like, change my heart and change my mentality, because I won't change it. You'll have to do it. I think everyone, including leaders, we'll have to like look at that too. Like, am I doing this for to leave a legacy, or am I doing this to love God and serve others?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so I would hope it'd be the latter, you know, and I hope that if anyone is listening to this, that's in some sort of leadership like role, would look back and be like, okay, am I trying to have influence, or am I trying to let God influence me and to help others and to serve others well and to give what has been given to me.
We talked early on, I think in the last one, how our human nature is in all of this. And I think when it comes to greed, this probably shows up more than anything else. Well, maybe not pride. I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, we do well in something and we say, oh, that worked. Right? And so we try to leverage it for more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just natural. We're just natural. It's almost like these breadcrumbs that lead us into greed, and we have to fight that like every day. And I think this is going to sound weird, but don't think about it, right? Mm-hmm. Because when we think about it, we start to put too much into it. When Solomon looked at everything that he had done and everything that he accomplished, he realized it was all pointless.
Yeah.
And the reality is what can we do that's going to really mean anything in the end? How much money could it have that would really benefit anybody else but me? And when we start thinking of it that way, we start realizing, well, if it's apart from God, then it has no value. Mm. So how can we let go and live in that for God moment and not think about all the things that we need or want or and just do what we need to do today? Mm. And that's kind of where Solomon was at. Put your head down, work hard. Don't worry about the accomplishments. Don't, because the accomplishments will taint our thinking. Mm.
Paul Ramsey says the Christian question is not just what is good, but whose good is it to be, mine or my neighbor's? It's just switching our mindset for others, not ourselves, which is really hard.
But I could be greedy there too.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I have to be stable in order to help my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Not really.
Right?
Not really.
Right? Right.
I think simply inviting a neighbor to a meal that you cook that might not be flashy or anything like that is generous too.
Yeah. But my greed says I need to get it together, mm-hmm. be a little bit nicer and yeah. you know.
Or your greed could be like, I've got the most well fed neighbors. They're much more well fed than yours.
Yeah. Yeah. This is really good. I didn't really use any of our notes. So any of the notes I wrote, just little tidbits. But I loved hearing your guys' stories. I think they're really encouraging to me, and they got me thinking a little bit inwardly for myself, which I appreciate.
Well, before we end, I would also say, if you are rich, the Bible speaks to you as well. And so if you're listening and maybe you have been prosperous in business or something like that, we're, you know, obviously, hopefully you're not getting the vibe that we think is money is evil or it's wrong to be successful. You know, we don't obviously come that way. 1 Timothy 6 says that, 17, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Thus storing up treasures for themselves is a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. And I think we, as Americans in this room, I think we come from that because we know, you know, as far as world economy goes, like we're all rich. You know, living in America, we're rich. We're
mm-hmm. we're number four.
Yeah, I mean, so we're already, you know, we were all born on third base and thought we hit triples and we didn't, so...
I don't know who said that recently.
Was it you?
No, but I heard it. It was Dave.
Was it Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was so funny.
So funny. But I, so that would be true for us and for those that are what we might call, quote unquote, legitimately wealthy. And I think the Lord does bless people financially to be generous. And so that's, I mean, God works in many ways. So, like, hopefully no one's hearing us saying, you know, being successful in business is a bad thing. It's not.
We're not saying eat the rich.
No, yes, I definitely. I have a couple.
That was 4 years ago.
I have a couple. You know, I have some friends that have some serious means, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Most generous people I know.
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievable in the amount that they help in this community mm-hmm. and the things that they do that nobody knows about. It's unbelievable.
I don't think there's anything more beautiful than somebody that has done well and wants to give it away. It's just so, it's such a good testament to faith.
Yeah. It's very good.
Yep.
That's it?
There you go.
We all done? I think it was a great conversation.
It was.
Loved it. I could do it again.
Maybe I don't want to talk about this topic again.
Well, you know what the next one is?
No.
Lust.
Oh, I'd rather
Let's
talk
do
about...
two on greed.
Let's do two on greed. Lust is going to be uncomfortable.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm going to get uncomfortable next time.
Well,
you're going to see me squirm.
I will be squirming.
It's audio only, Bryce. Don't worry.
I was talking to the four of you. You guys are going to feel me squirm by the sound of my voice.
Stop saying
it's going to be interesting.
I'm awkward.
Hey, this is why we have these conversations, right? So we can kind of just expand it and maybe help people think and maybe help them see God a little bit more.
Yeah, and honestly, if we're uncomfortable, If it takes us being a little bit uncomfortable having a conversation, it helps anyone else.
Yep.
Push them towards Christ.
It's worth it.
In any way.
It's good to have uncomfortable conversations.
But what?
Yeah, what's...
No, just that. That's
okay.
It.
It's good. We all were expecting a butt in there somewhere.
Well, the next episode will be about butts a little bit more.
Dang it.
Oh, edit.
Son of a gun.
We went this entire time with no edits.
I know, man.
You got edit butts.
Butts.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
It's a conjunction. It's,
you made a leap. You made a leap there on the lust side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like us, subscribe to us, do all the things. Apple Podcasts and Spotify are the two biggest ones. We're on every platform. Send it to your friends.
Yeah.
Do all the things.
Comment. We would
only on Spotify that I know of.
You can do it.
You guys said Apple Podcasts.
You can do it on Apple.
I still can't find it.
It's review, but you can kind of like you can reply to reviews.
Okay, but we can comment. They can comment on every episode.
Yep.
So
every
if you guys have any questions. Send it to us.
Do it.
We'd love to hear / read them.
We would. I actually got an email. I forgot to tell you guys. Oh, I got an email.
You can tell us later.
I'll tell you later. It's great.
Yeah. All right.
Well, let's end it now because I don't have to. I'm very greedy for information that I don't have.
That seems pretty proud.
Crushing it.
This has been.
I have an insatiable hunger.
You did
for
it again. This has been Outsiders Podcast.